As David said, we're taking a break from Emmaus Rewind this week. But I sometimes wonder when those disciples went back to Jerusalem, whether they were saying to each other, do you remember when? And the other one would say, yeah, it all makes sense now. So we're going to do an introduction to our reading this morning, which is from John 7, 37 and 38, and then chapter 8, 12 and 20. That's on pages 1072 and 1073 in the Church Bibles, if you want to follow. Pages 1072 and 1073, so we'll read that in a minute. But the scene of this particular episode is in the Feast of the Tabernacles in Jerusalem. It was a week-long autumn festival. It took place within the temple precincts. And it was a joyous festival and had a whole variety of different areas it covered. It celebrated the harvest, and it was a time of praying for the winter rain. It remembered God's presence in the wilderness wanderings and how God provided for his people then and protected them with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And it remembered the giving of the Torah, the giving of the law. And there were two particular symbolic acts during the festival. During the whole week, lamps were lit in the temple precincts, and on the last day, water was brought from the pool of Siloam to the temple as an offering to God. It was an exuberant and joyful festival. One commentator unearthed an ancient quote which effectively says, if you've not been in Jerusalem for tabernacles, you haven't lived. Here's how Jewish oral tradition described the festival. So get your imaginations running for when Sue begins to read what Jesus had to say. Towards the end of the first day of the feast, people went down to the court of the women, where precautions had been taken to separate the men from the women. Golden lamps were there, and four golden bowls were on each of them. Four ladders were by each. Four young men from the priestly group of youths had jugs of oil in their hands, containing large amounts of oil, and they poured the oil into the individual bowls. Wicks were made from the discarded trousers of the priests and their girdles. There was no court in Jerusalem that was not bright from the light. Men of piety, known for their good works, danced before the crowd with torches in their hands and sang before them songs and praises. The Levites stood with zithers and harps and cymbals and trumpets and other musical instruments without number on the 15 steps which led down from the court of the Israelites into the court of the women, and which corresponded to the 15 songs of the steps in the Psalms. That's our Songs of Ascents. Are you there with the crowds? Can you imagine what it must have felt like to be in that situation? The great joy and the exuberance of all that's going in. Jesus comes and stands before them.
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In two simple statements, Jesus subverts and changes the entire festival. It must have been breathtaking if you were there. You can understand, hopefully, by listening to the introduction that I gave and those words of Jesus on the steps, of just what it must have meant and sounded like to those around. It's no wonder the authorities suddenly leapt on him at that point. One of the liturgical readings for the festival is thought to come from Zechariah's vision. Then my Lord will come and all the holy ones with him. On that day there will be neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem. Half of it east of the Dead Sea, half of it west of the Med, in summer and in winter. You see what Jesus is doing as he takes those images of water and light and he applies them to himself. It's as clear a declaration as anywhere in the Gospels of his divinity, of who he is. And he's doing it on this great festival of tabernacles. And saying, if you want that real joy, that real excitement that you're seeing around you today, as we give thanks for all that God has done, come to me, follow me, because you'll enter in to that joy forever. Chapter 7 to the middle of chapter 10 of John 10. They're built around this festival. There's a theme of that being enlightened by Jesus, both spiritually and physically. Chapter 9 has the healing of the man who was born blind and then is healed and can now see. And Jesus repeats that statement after the healing when he says, I am the light of the world, again. There's also that theme of Jesus leading his people. Chapter 10 begins with Jesus describing himself as the good shepherd, who leads his sheep, and whose sheep know his name. And it's into that febrile atmosphere that Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, we're in a quieter atmosphere here this morning, although I think we could probably do with the heat from the huge lamps that were lit in the temple court that morning. But the challenge that faced the crowds all those years ago continues to face us. Whether we've been following Jesus for decades or are still suspicious of his claims, is Jesus still our light of the world? Is Jesus still our light? And if he is, do we live what we say we believe? Tabernacles celebrated that giving of the law, that life-giving covenant of God, of how people might live to the full. But Jesus' words encompass more than that. The psalmist says, the Lord is the light of my life and my salvation. The Lord is my light. Jesus is saying, I am Lord. I am the one who brings you light. Come, follow me. Another in Psalm 119 writes, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. It's back more or less to that good shepherd imagery of John 10. Come, follow me. My sheep know my voice and will follow. Lent, traditionally, is that time of reflection and penitence, a time to reflect on what God calls us to and to ask his help in walking in his ways. How are you using Lent this year? Are you finding time to let Jesus once again be the light of your journey with him? And these times of reflection are to be much more than knowing the Bible better, though that helps. But Jesus lays stress here that it's only as we follow him that we will have the light of life. That's risky, because we don't know where he might lead us to. But we need to put our trust in him. Imagine for a moment that you're out on a night hike with a group of friends. It's a dark, moonless night. And as typical townies, you discover that only one of you has a torch. You can risk stumbling around in the darkness in the hope that you will get to where you want to get to. Or you can put your trust in the one who has the torch to lead you along the paths to somewhere that's safe and warm and dry when you get there. But that too is risky. Because you have no idea where that person with the torch is going to lead you. You have to trust them. And so it is with Jesus as light of the world. We put our trust in him. But do we? I guess for many of us here, it's the first time. There's many years since the first time that we put our trust in God. That we heard that call to follow and said, yes, I'm willing to do that. But do you still trust Jesus to be the light for your journey today? Is your reliance for where you are and where you're headed on him, or have some of the comforts and the knocks of life moved you to one side from that? Are you still willing to let Jesus be your light to guide you and to lighten your path this morning? And that can happen to us at any age. A friend once described being in a service in Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia, and the church was sending out a mission team to do some long-term mission in Bhutan. Alongside others who were younger, there was an octogenarian was in that group as they went out. God calling them to say, come, follow me, and get and receive the light of life. As you walk in your 80s into this other country to share the good news of Jesus. I once, when I was doing my ordination training, described to some of the colleagues on my course and said what had gone on here the previous Sunday, and saying it feels a bit like an airport terminal at some stages, because I think we just welcomed some people back from doing short-term missions somewhere, and we were praying others to go out. And their response as they looked at me rather dodgily was, that's a dangerous church to be in, isn't it? But where are we letting God be our light to lead us into the light of life? We need to see afresh the glory of Jesus as our light in our lives. Some of you are doing that through the Sages Course as you look at the events of the Passion through the light of the Transfiguration and that time when Jesus became light in front of his apostles. But as we do this, as we let him be our light, so his light will shine through us into the world itself. And we then fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said was the role of God's people, to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles. If you haven't said yes to following Jesus as light of the world, of receiving from him the light of life, the invitation is open to all. Do come and talk about that invitation with me or one of the rest of the team after the service. But the challenge is there for all of us. Are we willing to let Jesus be the light of our lives? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the light that you bring to us. Lighten our hearts this morning, we pray, and help us to be willing to follow wherever you might lead. To the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.